At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, despite the outcome yesterday. And to paraphrase what TJ Watt had to say, this is not fun football. We're here anyway to talk about it as the Steelers lost to the Seahawks at home. Welcome into another edition of Kabali and Mac. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. If you're not yet, follow us on all the social media at Kabali and Mac, Facebook, TikTok, of course. Instagram, where if you're one of the first 500 followers, and we're getting closer every single day, 390, I want to say, something like that, you could win a $100 gift certificate to Yoli's Craft House and Cucina, where Kaboom went, Friday night without inviting me, or was it Saturday?
Saturday had the old meatball hoagie, and I still got half of it left. How about that?
Ooh, saving that for lunch today.
The sucker is like
enormous.
Yeah, you can't eat the whole thing.
No, it's like their fish sandwiches during Lent. It's enormous. It's literally a meal for a family. So you have to chop it up, but it's always delicious no matter how many pieces of it you eat at once or all at the same time. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube, also at Kabali and Mac. Don't forget, I think we're up to like 2,730 or something like that. When we get to 3,018, you'll have a chance to win either your choice, if we pull your name, an autographed Will Hard Steelers helmet, or just acquired in the last couple days, this autographed Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Which I'm not going to take out of the plastic.
What?
I'm not going to desecrate it like that. Going to keep it in the plastic for whoever wins. If they decide they want the autographed Stone Cold vest.
Drink some beer.
What?
Some Iron City.
What?
Like
what?
Icy light mango.
What? Icy light berry. What? So make sure you're following us and subscribed is the point. We're going to get into this game in all its gory detail. A couple of key plays included. Another terrible day for the run defense. How about the run offense? Non-existent. Even if Jaylen Warren had a decent day with a big catch and run. We'll get into all of it. We'll let you hear what some of the key people had to say as well. We've got to thank our good friends at Southwest Greens for always being on board. They've been on board since the very beginning. You want a beautiful yard that never needs to be mowed, watered, or fertilized? Get a hold of southwestgreenspa.com. I know some people, I see them in the comments, are like, ooh, who would want an artificial lawn? Well, somebody who wants a beautiful lawn that can be used all the time, regardless of conditions. No watering it constantly, no mowing, no treating it with fertilizers and chemicals. Great for you, your family, even your pets. Yeah, no more fleas, ticks, dead spots, smells, mud, all a distant memory with Southwest Greens. Artificial turf that naturally sheds debris through drainage and professional installation, giving you first-class flow through. You like that? First-class flow through, Kaboom. It's what we call alliteration in the business. So get a hold of Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com, and tell Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you. All right. The reason we did not do a live post-game show yesterday.
Yeah, why is
that? Rake me over the coals for doing some charity work, Kaboom?
No.
Strong-armed afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to do my best to make a long story short, okay? Every year, it always falls on a Sunday in September, The Pittsburgh Zoo and PPG Aquarium is nice enough to let us hold a fundraising event there for the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation. Those of you that know old C-Mac here somewhat and have been following along know that our son has dystonia, had brain surgery a couple years ago. He's doing wonderful, which is fantastic. But dystonia, if you've never heard of it, it's a mystifying disorder. And so we spread awareness. We have a walk. We raise money for the Dystonia Medical Research Foundation. Had another great day yesterday. So I emcee the thing, the family's there, all kinds of friends and everything. And my wife decided, in her infinite wisdom, hi, honey, in case you're watching, that she wanted to have a big thank you party for a bunch of people afterwards.
I didn't get invited.
Because you were working. I told you, you were working. Anyway, she also wanted to have, you know, she likes to, we have our mutual friend, Timmy Santoro. From Manesson.
Santoro!
Yeah, who lives up the street now from Baltimore. Shout out. Used to have a big gyro party every September. He doesn't do it as often anymore because I can't put away 9 gyros in a day like I used to. But she wanted it to be a combination gyro party / thank you for coming to the zoo walk for everybody that came. So I stood there with the TV on the patio and about 40 people in our house trying to man the gyro machine, shave that lamb, bitch, shave that lamb, and also watch the game. And so with that many people in the house and kids running around and the mess that needed to be cleaned up, I was not available to do a live post-game show because my wife looked at me and said, do you really think you have time for that? And I said, of course. And she said, do you really think so? And I said, no, dear, I guess I don't have time for that. So here we are breaking it down the morning after.
Now, okay? did anybody want to come down and see the luxurious Mac studio?
No, nobody came down for a tour. Mm-hmm. A tour of the studio. The sounds spacious like abode.
A lot of people saying, hey, can't wait for the post-game show. But okay, we'll let you slide this time.
Next Sunday, live post-game show, and I won't let myself be dissuaded. That's a big word for discouraged, which is a bigger word for I ain't going to let nobody stop me next time. So thanks to everybody for checking in this morning to talk about this one and get some things off our chest after a 31-17 loss to the Seahawks. Kaboom, there's plenty of places we could start. 27 or more points allowed now in 6 of the last 7 games by this defense. 30 or more in back-to-back games for the first time in 4 years, I think, and 30 or more in the first 2 games of the season since 2002. Joe Nedney year, I believe, is what I remember that as. A wild card loss in Tennessee, thanks to a diving kicker. We could talk about TJ Watt, a 6th straight game without a sack. We could talk about this defense giving up 10 runs of 10 or more yards in the first 2 games combined, including a ridiculous 19-yarder by Kenneth Walker to basically put the game on ice on 3rd and goal from the 19. There's a million different things we can complain about, and we didn't even get to the rookie, Caleb Johnson, just forgetting that you're supposed to actually field a kickoff, and that was one of the first things Mike Tomlin talked about.
Seeing we're in a close ball game last week, and a special teams play broke it open in our favor. This week we're in a close ball game, and the special teams play broke it open in our opponent's favor. And I just think that's life in this business at this level.
So he wasn't, I want to be clear, Mike Tomlin talked about a lot of their failures yesterday, but that was one of the first things he mentioned. And the game, you could argue, turned on that. Seattle scores a gimme touchdown when Caleb Johnson fails to field the kickoff. He wouldn't really talk about after the game, kaboom, whether he knew the rule or not that he had. I mean, I don't know. How long do you have to be fielding kickoffs at any level to know that you have to actually field the kickoff? But that was the one that took the air completely out of the sails for, you could sense it, not just the crowd at Heinz Field, but everybody on the sidelines. They still had a chance to win after that, but fresh off the back of the pick in the end zone on the previous drive and then the Seahawks driving, I think it was 50-plus yards for a field goal in 9 plays. That was the point in the game late 3rd quarter where early 4th quarter where the wheels completely came off.
Yeah, I think it was 14-14, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 14, you know, I'm not very good at math, 17-14, right? Was it 17?
Well, on the Caleb Johnson muffed kick, yes. It was,
yeah,
it was,
then all of a sudden
just scored a field goal.
Yeah, so they had the ball with, 12 minutes left in the game to be able to go down and score and potentially take the lead, but now all of a sudden it's a two-possession game right there. You say, don't you know the rules? Well, I do believe in college, the rules, I don't know if they're currently like that or just recently like that. The ball went into the end zone, which is dead. So, but the guy has not really had any kickoff returns since like his freshman year of college. The only reason why he's back there now is because it's time to, just get him acclimated because he's not going to be the one or the two. And if you notice, everybody kicks it to him every single time. I don't know if I don't even know who anybody even kicked at the game well once in two games yet. And there was some question if he knew the rule or if Danny Smith is at fault. Trust me when I tell you, if you even talk to Danny Smith for 1 second ever, he's went over this 10, 15 times per day of what the rule is. Sometimes people just don't grasp the concept or gets overwhelmed in the situation or forgets about it. I guarantee that he was briefed on the situation numerous times that you just can't let the ball go into the end zone like that and you don't have to cover it up. Turns out, too, you had three monster plays in this game, Mac. It was that one.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Calvin Austin / Freiermuth / interception. And you had the Caleb Johnson where, okay, it would have been a 10-point game, but it was just a, icing on the cake of, hey, something's really wrong here. So,
yeah, that's the overarching theme here today in the wake of this loss. There's some major problems that need to be worked out. And look, I don't want to say we whistled past the graveyard last week because we talked plenty about the issues they had after giving up 32 points to the Jets, especially on the defensive side of the ball. That's all still in play, but now you've got the added dimension as well of you simply cannot run the football. Jaylen Warren, 48 yards on 14 carries, another day of about 3.5 yards per carry on the ground for the Steelers. Yes, he had the 65-yard catch and run, which was great. Keep getting them the ball, I guess. Maybe do a better job. Aaron Rodgers hinted at it after the game. Do a better job of getting him involved in space, catching the ball out of the backfield maybe. But this offensive line continues to struggle both in run blocking, but Rodgers got sacked several times again yesterday as well. Three more sacks of Rodgers. Now, he did hold onto the ball a little long a few times. We can blame his receivers for maybe not breaking open in a few spots. But Troy Faltanu was asked by our good friend Joe Rutter after the game if they got to do more.
Give Aaron some more time.
100%. Frustrating personally, just as a group. But obviously, we don't want any of that to happen. But we can sit here and hope and wish away, but we got to do a better job.
Yeah, they're just not blocking well. And I know you made the point last week of saying, hey, they're still gelling. They're still coming together. And I get that. I do. But at the same time, it's like run blocking. Maul the man in front of you.
But, I mean, I hate to say anything positive at all because, this is not the day for positivity in Steeler land right now. However, those two off defensive lines the past 2 weeks are quite stout. So if you're looking at any silver lining, I don't know if you find across the board the Jets and the Seahawks, any team any better than those two down the road. I'm sure there are maybe a couple here, but that's two very, very stout defensive lines with an offensive line that's still trying to get its feet underneath them a little bit. So I understand why they've struggled, not to mention that, they've never really played together other than last week, not to mention Isaac Seumalo's struggling again yesterday. But, hey, the positive is, did you hear Broderick Jones' name?
No,
So there's a positive, right? There's a positive.
Look at you finding the silver linings in the clouds. I don't know. It's just
You don't go on defense because I can't find one. Because
we'll get.
Honestly, I don't know where to go there.
Because I think we're seeing a theme develop, and it goes back to something we talked about during the offseason that they've tried to rectify over the last couple of off seasons. But let's save the defense for the defense, because I think that's a whole big ball of wax that we can start to melt down and dig into. The problem on offense is, you made this point last week, if you can't run the ball, play action isn't going to be nearly as effective. Yeah. If you can't play action, that takes a big part out of the Arthur Smith game plan, I would think. And then when you do break down in pass protection, or guys aren't getting open, or let's not ignore the fact there were some huge drops early in this game. A couple of DK drops, a Pat Freiermuth drop on a deep ball that could have been a huge play. You mentioned the bobble in the end zone between Muth and Calvin Austin that turns into a Seattle pick. They've got to get open, and they've got to do a better job of just catching the football.
Yeah, DK's a little bit of a surprise because that's 2 weeks in a row now. I don't know if he has three or four drops in two games, and that's just way, 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 way too much. You can't allow that to happen if you're a star like that. But, I mean, back to the running game, just a little bit here. I mean, if the running game's not working, you can circumvent that by doing what they did, some of the quick passes, some of the screen passes. What we saw from Jaylen Warren going 60 or 70 yards, I think that truly proves or shows that Warren can handle the job, but it goes more into running the ball than just handing the ball and he runs. I mean, got to have protection. You got to have schemes. You got to have downfield blocking. Although on that long catch and run by Warren, it seemed like he did most of the work right there himself. But you do need to run the ball or the play action's not going to be there. Yada, yada, yada. But you look at it, they're so close still. I mean, I don't know how to read this team quite yet because last week we're like, okay, this team can put up some points. This week they can't put up any points. I don't know how to quite read what type of offense this is right now.
Well, it's one that if you're going to ask Rodgers to carry the game, he's going to be able to do it from time to time. And we kind of talked about that during the offseason when they acquired Rodgers. Hey, as long as you're not asking Aaron Rodgers to be 2019, 2020 MVP level peak Aaron Rodgers, you're going to be okay.
Yep.
But you can't do that when the opposition is scoring 30-plus every week and you also have no running game to speak of. And that's I think, one of the biggest concerns here is that they now have – hold on, I want to make sure I have this right. They have two runs of 10 yards or more in the first two games.
Yeah.
Gainwell had a 13-yarder. Or no, Caleb Johnson had one that was actually called back, I think, in week one. And Kenny G had one yesterday for 10 yards, I think. That's it. Like, they're not breaking – they're not getting through the line of scrimmage, and then they're not breaking anything after that either.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, they aren't. They're not having any big plays. I don't know what their infatuation is with Kenny Gainwell. I think Gainwell, we all figured, was going to be a integral part of this offense, but we didn't think he was going to do, what did he have yesterday?
Gainwell? I mean, 4 yards a carry for what it was worth.
Well, what I'm talking about, actually, snap counts. He had to be up into the almost 50-50 range, which you weren't really anticipating, at least I wasn't anticipating him going 42% and Warren going 58%. I think that's based solely off of Caleb Johnson's lack of getting up to speed and being able to use him whatsoever. But, you know, I thought Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, played pretty decent, right? He had one errant throw, I guess he got lucky at. It wasn't picked off.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, I thought he played, you know, probably, I don't know if he, I'll say the best of anybody on offense. If not, I mean, he's number two behind Jaylen Warren.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment. And the numbers weren't terrible by the end of the day. The two picks certainly don't look good on the
Well, if that doesn't happen in the end zone, all of a sudden the two touchdowns and, you know, in the game with a chance to win it, all of a sudden looks different. If Calvin Austin doesn't, you know, go rogue and figures he should cover the entire end zone, but that's tough. I mean, it's tough for Calvin Austin because he's in that. His back's to the Freiermuth. He's probably thinking the ball's coming in. I need to do it. Imagine if that ball was thrown and Calvin Austin goes, oh, there's somebody behind me, so I'm just going to let it go, and it gets picked.
Picked. Exactly. He'd
be hammering him. So
absolutely.
Maybe it was just a bad route running, the fact that there was two people in the same area at the same time. But that's a huge play. Absolute stunningly huge play. Plus, like you mentioned earlier, Freiermuth down the field could have been caught, would have been a tough catch. Should have been, could have been caught. So, plus, you weren't using much other than where's the tight end friendly offense? I mean,
haven't seen it much. Darnell Washington on the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Freiermuth, like we mentioned, with the drop early on a big play.
Plus, he had a couple catches. I mean, Jonnu had a couple targets, but.
Well, they had a chance too. So after the pick in the end zone, right? And I want to correct something I said earlier. I said they have two running plays of 10 yards or more. They didn't have one in the first week. I was looking at a part of the sheet that lists the longest plays, and it listed one as a 13-yarder because of a penalty.
Oh, speaking of that, did you happen to see the 10 longest plays? I know we're going to talk about defense but later, but the 10 longest plays by the Seahawks, they're all double digits. Turns out they had 18 plays, I think, of 10 yards or longer. What in the hell?
43, 24, 21, 20, 19, 19, 17, 17, 17, 16.
Those there's the a there's a bunch more after that, too.
Yeah.
It didn't even fit on the list. What's going on here?
They had a chance, though, after the pick, right? They get a 3-and-out on Seattle. They get the ball back, decent field position. And they're at their own 48, okay? Fourth and effectively 1 yard. Mike Tomlin decides to punt.
Fourth and one or less than one at midfield late in the third quarter. What was your thought process of kicking it there?
It was a 14-14 game. You know, neither offense was lighting it up at that juncture. As I mentioned, we had absorbed some attrition on defense, and so I wanted to protect that group and keep them on a long field.
We just got done talking last week. And look, I'm not asking Mike Tomlin to trot Chris Boswell out there for a 70-yard field goal or whatever it would have been. But it's fourth and one. Pick up the 1 yard.
You got 230-pound running back. It runs like his hair's on fire.
I don't want to say that was a waving of the white flag, because at that point, like you said, it's a 14-14 game. But you just had what felt like a crushing interception. But you got your defense actually made a stop. They got the 3-and-out on Seattle. And now you've got a chance to do something with it, and instead you go 3-and-out yourself because in a tie ball game at midfield, you're afraid to go for it. Worst-case scenario, you give Seattle a short field. And either way, what ends up happening, Seattle goes and scores again.
My question is, when has it ever been flipped where Tomlin's like, yeah, you know, I figured I would put in my defensive hands. When does he ever say, hey, I want to put it in my offensive hands?
Right.
Never, never.
Like, you went out and got a Hall of Fame quarterback. And like we just said, he's not going to be able to spin his magic 100% of the time. But you've got four friggin' tight ends. You've got the ability to run any play you want to if you put all four tight ends out.
And if you want to run it, you run it over the center and the guard. McCormick, Frazier, two studs with your 230-pound running back.
It was dumbfounding to me. And that was another crucial point, I thought, in this thing. When it all fell apart late in the third quarter from the pick in the end zone all the way down through the Caleb Johnson kickoff disaster, where you could just feel the air being sucked out of the building and off the sidelines. It was like, oh, no, I don't know if we can get this yard. We'll make them drive a long field. And so what did Seattle do? They drove the field.
Yeah, I mean, they drove the field to start. How do you want to do it if you're an offense? You want to score in your first possession of the game and your first possession in the second half. Seattle did both of those.
Yeah, and it's just, it's frustrating to watch in that situation after years of the same sort of over-conservative thinking, which more often than not, Tomlin ascribes to that philosophy, where just be a little more aggressive on offense. You finally have a quarterback that you trust, I would presume, for the first time in 5 years, and you're not. There's just no aggression on offense in those situations.
Yeah, you know, they're probably fortunate that it was only, you know, 31-17. What was the final? 31-14.
31-17.
I mean, considering how they moved up the field at will, considering they almost had a 300 guys with running back, wide receiver. I mean, considering some of the turnovers they created, I mean, you look back at it with the microscope and you're like, they're pretty fortunate that it was only, they were in the game with 5 minutes left in the game.
Well, that's the other problem here, is that when things started to fall apart, that seems to me that there should be somebody sort of telling everybody on the side, hey, we're cool, we got this, we're okay. And it started to fall apart, like I said, on the pick in the end zone. And you get the ball back, and that's an opportunity to sort of seize the momentum back. If the momentum had evened out at that point because Seattle had gotten the ball, and, well, that's all right, we force our three and out, now we got a chance to do something. And instead, it was sort of, it was trying to play to a draw, it felt like, because it was a 14-14 game and you didn't want to be aggressive on offense. Thanks to the friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. They've been fantastic joining Cabali and Mac here this season. Over three decades of industry experience since Don Higgins founded the business 40 years ago. They've been taking care of people in the Pittsburgh area, residential, commercial, industrial, drywall repair, interior and exterior painting. You want your home to look great, add a little bit of curb appeal, or maybe just get those plain white walls taken care of like the ones Kaboom has behind them. Get a hold of Higgins Professional Painting, higginsprofessional.com or 412-344-0480 to schedule your free estimate.
Yep, starting on Wednesday, baby. The process of having some consultation. I'm not involved in that whatsoever, but there we go. Hey.
As well, you shouldn't be.
Not only do they part of the team here, but hey, we use them here too as well.
Oh, yeah. We welcome people on board who we patronize, and that's important. Like when we tell you,
funny because I patronize you, but
right, that's different. So the important part is that you can trust these people because we trust them. We've had many of them in our own homes. So go with Higgins Professional Painting. We appreciate them supporting the show as well. I was disappointed in that decision. Didn't like it at all. But maybe none of this matters, turnovers included, if you're just able to stop the opposing defense when they have the ball and they still haven't been able to do it. This goes all the way back to last year.
Well, that's Giants game.
We know the struggles, the playoff game, the run game, and then these two first weeks of the year. Is that the transition, the emphasis on stopping the run? It doesn't seem that it's happening. You talked about it, but is there anything from last year to this year that you thought you guys had fixed, or at least you thought you might have guys set, you know?
Well, I mean, there's always an emphasis on the run. The first note of every single week is smash the run. And you guys have heard me say for 9 years, we're always trying to smash the run. And it's not a lack of trying. Schematically, effort, I don't know, we'll have to look at the film, but we need to be better. And we need to look in the mirror. We need to turn over every stone that we possibly can, because this can't continue to happen. Otherwise, you're just going to continue to see what we saw today. Not really able to pin your ears back. Teams aren't able to get to one-dimensional situations. You have to wait until a two-minute drill potentially to be able to get after the quarterback like we do. It's not fun football right now. We need to get back to doing what we do best, and that's stopping the run first and foremost to create those longer down and distances.
So that's one of the more expansive answers you're ever going to get from TJ Watt. He talked for like a full 35 to 40 seconds there, I think it was. Typically, his answers are pretty short. And a lot of people are going to focus on TJ because, like I said at the top, this is now six straight games where he hasn't had a sack. So you can make that point. and it's based in fact. I can't argue the fact that the man hasn't had a sack in six consecutive games. But he made that point, and Mike Tomlin made the point when he was asked about TJ as well post-game, that when the other team is basically doing whatever it wants to do in the run game, you're not forcing them into those situations where you actually can rush the passer. Then you add in some injuries, Highsmith going off with a high ankle sprain. Queen was off the field for a bit. Just a number of different people. You were without Joey Porter Jr. and Deshaun Elliott yesterday. Derek Harmon's still out. I don't want to make excuses. That's not the reason for listing all the injuries, but it is something to watch this team. Not that they can't. I think if they were in the right situations, they could still do some of the things that they're good at, but they don't even know. And I think that's the more jarring part that a lot of people are talking about this morning, is that they don't even know how to stop what's happening to them.
Yeah, because if they knew how to stop it, it would have been stopped by now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can talk a good game all you want, but they just have not been able to follow through with it. And, you know, I'm getting absolutely – I can understand why fans are going crazy, because myself, I'm getting tired of hearing the same excuse, the same excuse, the same excuse. I mean, how many times do we have to talk about gap integrity, being accountable? You know, let's go check out the film. We'll work it out. It's the same garbage. Just get the job done. I mean, I know they're trying to protect people here and not call them out publicly, but guess what? That's not working. Maybe it is time to start calling out somebody publicly. Hey, you stink. You need to get your stuff in. Maybe not the player, because it's tough for a player to do that. But the head coach can sure come out tomorrow and say, you know what? Peyton Wilson needs to play better. He's not playing varsity football right now. You know, anybody along
the Keanu defense, Benton? How's Keanu that for Benton, a start?
He needs to play varsity football. We expect him out for him. This is his third year. He needs to be able to step it up here. I mean, he needs to call out some people, because whatever they're doing now is not working. Because if it was working, they would not keep having the same issues time and time again. And what's gone unnoticed, I know Jalen Ramsey got, you know, a little bit of criticism for allowing a touchdown or a deep ball. When I see Jalen Ramsey instantly looking to the middle of the field when somebody catches a touchdown, something tells me somebody else was supposed to be there. So where's the communication at? Is that because of Deshaun Elliott? How many times do we hear communication issues? Communications, gap sound. I mean, it's just tiresome. Figure it out already. And then and that's why people, I think, are so down and upset right now, because they've had a year plus to figure it out, and they're no closer to figuring out than they were, you know, a year ago.
And it's like, it's, I don't think that it's necessarily the talent on the field. Like in Keanu Benton's case, okay, you went out and drafted Derek Harmon for a reason. He hasn't played the first couple of weeks. Maybe when Harmon gets inserted, it's a different story, right? Okay, we could talk about talent there. But for the most part, they have the talent all over the field. And to see them get continually gashed week
same
after
stuff.
Week.
Same yes. stuff.
Same stuff. I mean, wide open lanes. And like, there's a good example from yesterday. I think it's the first play from scrimmage. Isaiah Loudermilk gets absolutely pancaked. And okay, Isaiah Loudermilk is a backup.
But he's a monster. He should not be getting pancaked. The guy is like 6'6", 350. Well, he's a monster.
He's clearly not good enough. He could be a monster. He could be massive. He's not good enough.
He shouldn't be put on his ass, though.
But the issue for me is that they have the people. And a lot of people, I totally understand, because like you said, everybody's pissed off and they're going to say, oh, well, look at how much they spent on this defense and they brought these guys in and that guy in and what's it done for them. I don't think it's the talent. I think a lot of this has to do with teams have figured out how to run on you. They've figured out how to attack your one or two weaknesses, and they just go after it and go after it and go after it. And that's what we haven't seen the Steelers address. I get it. They drafted Harmon. He hasn't been able to play. And so guys like Benton have to continue to play, or Loudermilk has to play. And maybe that gets better when Harmon's back. But if you can't schematically change some of the things you want to do, and you continue to walk through life with this next man up mentality, it's not going to work when the next man up isn't as capable as the man he's replacing.
Yeah, you see guys like Kenny Walker going 20 yards untouched. You see guys like Breece Hall going 20 yards untouched. I don't know how much is that scheme, or how much is that just, you know, lack of talent at that position, because maybe Loudermilk shouldn't be playing. Maybe Benton is out of position. Maybe Peyton Wilson isn't playing well. I mean, I noticed one thing. Cole Holcomb did not play at all week one. Defensively, Cole Holcomb got some action. I know maybe some of it was because of Queen, but something tells me it was because of Cole Holcomb. I mean, because of Peyton Wilson. The thing is, Mac, I think these players know what's up. But just hearing what a guy like Patrick Queen said, and he's a guy that he pretty much tells you how it is, and how he refused to answer a couple schematic questions.
Mm-hmm.
It just shouted to me that there's a player or two are not living up to their standards. And I mean, I think we all can figure out who that might be. I mean, I think it's Peyton Wilson. I think it's Benton. I mean, right off the top of my mind, I mean, I'm not being told this. I'm just watching it.
I mean, Benton's an easy one to diagnose, I think.
I think he's playing out of position.
Yeah, I think his position should be on the sideline. How about that?
I think he should be more of that three tech, a little bit outside stuff. And another thing is, it was a bad break. Highsmith got hurt 10 plays, and what you saw was them switching it up a little bit when they went to their sub package. They only had one defensive lineman. All were standing up, and Herbig was playing right next to Hayward in the middle. So they had the intentions of mixing some things up, but Highsmith goes up, 10 plays in, all of a sudden that gets thrown to the wayside.
Well, and I think more to TJ's point too, like when you're getting steamrolled in the run game, it's you're not going to be able – like Herbig's best skill is getting in the backfield and getting after the quarterback. Like TJ called it, pinning his ears back. And I thought Herbig, you know, had a solid game for what it's worth. He comes up with the pick on the tip ball by Cam. I didn't think the Highsmith injury was as impactful as the fact that, like, I look at snaps, and I know Mike Tomlin's not going to talk about snap distribution.
I ain't breaking that down daily, right?
Right. But why is Keanu Benton still playing more than Y.A. Black?
I don't think Y.A. played very well either, if you go back and look at it. I think he was pushed more than he probably should have been pushed around for a guy that's 350.
So here's the thing. We're talking about big dudes up front, like Loudermilk, like Black, getting just shoved around. That's, to me, you know, and those are, like I mentioned, a couple of weak soft spots on this defense, talent-wise. Why have they not figured out how to help that position in the run game?
If I knew that, I'd be a D coordinator.
Well, and there might be an opening soon.
Hey, here's another thing is, let's just not dismiss a lot of wide open receivers as well. It's just not the run defense yesterday. There was some early on wide open throws, and it's like, okay, who's watching him? Who's covering him? Maybe Deshaun Elliott's missed more than we were anticipating. Maybe Thornhill / Chuck Clark isn't that guy. Jabril Peppers, you know how many defensive snaps he played?
Me and you and him
had the same amount.
Yeah.
Zero.
So we go out and sign the guy, and then we don't play him.
He played a couple special team snaps. I would anticipate that changing this week, but
one still out. Juan Thornhill played as many defensive snaps as anybody else. He played every single defensive snap. So maybe that's one of the issues where we can talk about personnel not being up to snuff.
Yeah, you know, TJ's an easy – I see somebody mentioned in the comments. TJ's an easy target because of the money and his past history. But there's much more problems other than TJ Watt. okay, maybe he's somewhat of a problem because he hasn't had a sack in six games, but he's not the only problem.
No, but you're right. He's going to be the one that's easy to pick out because the money and because no sacks in six games. Look, like I said, you can't argue against the fact. It's a plain fact on paper that TJ Watt hasn't had a sack in six games. But I think everything begins and ends, and it all circles back on both sides of the ball to the trenches. This was supposed to be the plan when they brought Andy Weidel in. They were going to remake the trenches, right? They were going to finally build up that offensive line, which they've worked on the last couple of years. They were going to build up the defensive line, which they've tried to by drafting Harmon and Black, but it's been baby steps in that direction, clearly. They're getting dominated in the trenches on both sides of the ball. That's what it boils down to.
Let me ask you this question. I mean, is there any chance we're overreacting? Because last week we overreacted in the good way.
The other direction, yeah.
So is it somewhere in between, or does this team have major issues in your opinion?
I think, look, I'm willing to take what you said about the offensive line a couple weeks ago and go, okay, offensive line needs to gel. That now, again, all five of those guys should have been out there on the field together at some point during the preseason, which they weren't. But I'm willing to give the offensive line, because most of it's young and still coming together, some more time. The defensive line, again, I'm willing to say, okay, maybe when Harmon comes in, that'll change some things. But we know he's young.
A rookie. He's a rookie.
I mean, true he's going to have these right? issues too. Yeah. Right. So the problem is, you're a team that routinely, when it's been successful over the past 50 years, has been successful because it was strong up front in both line, on both lines and in the trenches. And you don't have that now. You don't have a strength on either one of those spots. When you're healthy, I think you have a very good linebacking core, including the edges. When you're healthy, I think you've got a good secondary. Again, no Porter yesterday. And you're still without Deshaun Elliott.
I didn't notice Slay at all.
No, and maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe I have to rewatch it to see. I really didn't notice him.
And on the offensive side, you've got this multitude of tight ends. You brought in a quarterback that you feel like you can trust for the first time in 5 years, okay? You've got all these other things that are working, but it all is a house of cards if you're weak in the trenches, if you're getting beat up front on both sides of the ball.
But that's every team, right?
Maybe, but
I mean, what team?
They've had how long to address it?
What team in the NFL has a shitty offensive line or defensive line and say, yeah, they're so good?
No. None. No. None, if any. Or very few, if any. Usually none. But that's what it all boils down to. Like, they've tried to remake the trenches over the last few years, and I don't know if it's still just a work in progress or if some of it hasn't worked, if all of it hasn't worked, but clearly that's where they're lacking. And I don't know how you fix that like that. And so, just like I said before the season started, and you laughed at me when I overanalyzed the schedule, but just like I said when the season started, teams are going to run on them until they prove they can stop it. So guess what New England's going to do on Sunday?
Yeah.
They're going to run the ball.
And then what's going to happen? They're going to put together their best effort of the year. They're going to win 28-0. And all of a sudden, they're back.
I appreciate your optimism, but I'm not hopeful that happens. I am hopeful. How about this? This is a Pompeiani-level segue. I am hopeful that if you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area, the Dan Heck team are the people to take care of you. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK. The whole team there, ready, willing, and able to help you sell a home, buy a home, find the perfect area for you and your family, whatever it may be, they'll take care of you. The Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, HAECK, heckteamhomes.com. But until they fix the defensive line, I know you mentioned Peyton Wilson as well. Until they fix the defensive line, I don't see any reason to believe that this defense is going to get much better, because as long as teams are able to whip you up front, that's how Sam Darnold throws for 295 yesterday. I know you mentioned guys running open through the middle, and that's a big part of it. But when you can do whatever you want, running or throwing, you're going to have a successful day on offense.
Yeah. You know, I think I did say something to the fact that I just can't see how this team has any offense. Well, just play the Steelers.
Yeah.
They'll break out the offense, because there's wide receivers making catches I've never heard of before in my life. Tight ends having touchdowns I've never heard of in my life. And all of a sudden, Kenneth Walker has a diddly-poo.
Diddly-poo? Watch your language.
In about a year, all of a sudden puts up 100 yards and a touchdown. So
I guarantee Josh McDaniels is licking his chops right now. He's looking at this, planning a 1-2 punch between Stevenson and Henderson. Gibson had another big kickoff return yesterday. I mean, he's got weapons at his disposal on the ground, and he's going to use them until the Steelers show they can stop it.
I don't know if they have anything else, though. Who's their wide receiver?
Stephon Diggs.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, let's not mistake the Patriots for the 2007 Patriots now anytime soon.
No, we'll get into the Patriots later in the week in a little more detail. But, I mean, like you said, we didn't expect any great shakes out of the Seattle offense with Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold goes for 295. And what's his name? The running back goes for 100 yards.
Charbonneau.
No, it was not Charbonneau. Charbonneau had more carries than Kenneth Walker, but averaged less than a yard a carry. This is my worry now, is that they can't fix things. Now, we got real excited after week one, right? Because of the offense.
And they're 6-yard field goal away from being 0-2.
Well, either way, Aaron Rodgers says, don't get too high, don't get too low.
Frustrating.
Relax?
No, it's week two. Come on now. Come on. It's week two. I mean, like, it's good for us. Last week, probably there were some people who were feeling pretty good, because everybody outside the building is talking about how great we were on offense and 34 points. That's the league. You can't ride the highs or ride the lows. You know, you gotta refocus every single week and be a professional. And it starts with the practice and the preparation. So we just get a chance to reset, take a look at what we did last week, what worked, what didn't work from the preparation standpoint, do better next week.
I mean, I hope it's that simple.
I think I got a hot take here.
What?
Rodgers, the voice of reason. I thought he was going to come up and blow everything up. I'm starting to believe by the words and his actions, he might be the one that's going to be able to hold this together. He might be the one that be able to be get this team to be where it needs to be, just by his actions, just by his experience here. I mean, he could. I mean, what he said there, the DK, the other DK.
The Serb.
Spot on, man. Can't get too high, can't get too low. And you know darn well there's 22, 23-year-olds on this team. Probably Caleb Johnson is feeling pretty shitty by himself right now, right?
Yeah.
He had realized, hey, I've been here and done this, dude. This stuff happens. So I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers would rather be a detriment to this team, but a potential one that who is the voice of reason, the guy that really is going to keep it together. I mean, am I off base here or
what? No, I mean, R-E-L-A-X, right? I think we saw it in week one when they're down 9 and he just kept plugging away and they got a couple big plays. Sure, the special teams play helps as well. But his demeanor, I think, does lend itself to a sense of, it's cool, we got this. Yeah. Everybody relax. We're all gonna make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah,
we're all gonna make big plays at other times. And so, I guess that's what I was trying to get at earlier when I said the team as a whole felt like when things started to crumble after the pick in the end zone, and then the Caleb Johnson kickoff error, like. All of that, you could feel like, okay, this thing just fell apart and there was nobody to sort of grab the wheel and steer things back on course. And I'd like to see that out of my head coach and the staff on the sidelines, but I guess if it has to be Aaron Rodgers, it has to be Aaron Rodgers. I mean,
there's a lot of young guys on this offense. I mean, how much do you think it helps Calvin Austin saying, yo, dude, I know you messed up. You probably stayed here. You screwed up, but hey, we're going to need you for this. If they had a leader like that, when was the last time they had a leader like that? I mean, at the quarterback position, I mean, you'd have to go back to probably before Ben, not before Ben, but the before injured Ben, maybe.
Yeah.
To that where he used to really take guys to the side. I mean, guys like Broderick Jones, prime example. He could have said, dude, you stink, whatever. Hey, Brod, I like you, man. You're going to do well. All of a sudden, he plays well here a little bit. So,
I mean, and he.
I like the fact that we anticipated him just being the cancer, and he actually might be the old elixir here.
Maybe. I mean, he said similar things about both Calvin Austin and Caleb Johnson yesterday in that post-game press conference, too. He basically said, hey, Calvin's a great kid. You know, there's nothing, you know, would I prefer him not try to snag that one in that spot? Sure. Yeah. But he's trying to make a play.
Yeah.
Caleb Johnson, he said he's a young guy. He's going to make mistakes. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a voice of reason, that's the one, I guess, who was most even keel or level headed in the wake of what was otherwise a really ugly and disappointing loss.
I like the fact that he's able to be critical without being
beating guys down.
Yes. And that's probably what you need. I'm guessing 20 years of experience lends that, but I mean, everything we were told, he was a piece of garbage, right? I don't know. I just find it an interesting turn of events that just that he knew darn well last year, hey, 34 points, everybody said we were great. You know, apparently he's checking out, you know, the Twitter.
He's listening to Kabbalah and Mac. He's watching.
Yeah.
Morning, Aaron. But I do think maybe he learned something, too, from his time in New York, right? Or from the end of things in Green Bay when, you know, he could be a little hypercritical at times. And knowing that, like you said, there's a lot of young guys on this offense, it's better to build them up than to tear them down. And you can acknowledge that someone made a mistake. It's obvious. Everybody sees mistakes, especially glaring ones like Caleb Johnson's. So you don't need to beat somebody up over that. You need to tell them, hey, make sure it doesn't happen again, but we're all going to screw up. We're going to need you. We're going to have to count on you at some point. So be ready to make a play when your opportunity comes, because you're not going to screw it up every time.
Yeah. Which I find is a very, I hate to say the word refreshing, but a little different of the way he approaches it. I would love to, you know, I would love to pay more attention to him back, you know, during middle part of his season or whatever, middle part of his career, to see how he really was. Because, I mean, with Ben, there was different versions of Ben. There was early Ben, jerk Ben. There was nice Ben. There was, you know, Ben at the end of his career. I mean, it was three different versions of him, so to speak. I don't know if it's just, hey, I want to go out like this, Aaron Rodgers, but it's one thing I do take positive away from this game. You know, I do take positive that Rodgers is showing that leadership that they might very well need. I like the positive of Broderick Jones didn't crap the bed again, which
I didn't have you walking in here today with a bunch of silver linings, but here you are.
Well, there's a couple. Trust me, the defense, it's hard to find one. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I there are a bunch, because, like I said, I mean,
I'll give you one.
I get sick and tired of, you know, go to the lab and all that crap. I'm tired of it. Just figure it out.
I'll give you one or two little ones on the defensive side. One is, I know you mentioned the couple plays where Jalen Ramsey was victimized.
Yeah.
I thought he still had a really good game.
Yeah.
I think he and Herbig were probably the best players on the defensive side of the ball.
That long throw at the end, they're taking chances there.
Yeah.
I think he might have been the one deep high safety. And suddenly, you know, sometimes a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to beat you, regardless how good you are. So I think that was just a calculated risk that they took, and he ended up losing that rep. But I don't believe that touchdown was his fault.
No, and I think I mentioned Herbig too, not just because he ended up with the pick on the tipped ball, but I think if there's a place where you can survive an absence, if it's going to be more than just the rest of the game, and I don't know how much Highsmith is hurt, if it's a high ankle sprain, could be a week or two, could be 4 to 6 weeks, who knows?
They were talking like it's going to be a while.
Okay, so I trust Herbig to step in Highsmith's role. I do.
Yeah, plus your neighbor's going to have to finally get the elevated role.
Jacko.
You should invite him.
I said to somebody yesterday, I said, man, I hate Ohio State, but I really like Jack Sawyer.
You should go bring him some leftover gyros.
I should. Just drop him on the doorstep, you think?
I'm sure he'll eat them. You know, random gyro meat on his front porch.
I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure he's just going to open up a Ziploc baggie and just start handfuls of gyro meat right in his face. Definitely.
Courtesy.
He's not more considerate about what he puts in his body.
Maybe put a couple of icy lights in there with him.
There are some icy lights in the fridge I could drop off.
Maybe give him some Archie wings or something.
Speaking of, have
his house painted, see if he wants to sell his house. What am I missing there?
All the stuff.
If he wants his nails fixed.
Get a pedicure, right? Speaking of Archie's, great place. There's a Monday night doubleheader tonight. You want to stay up all night and watch football? Archie's on Carson, the best place to do it. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. It's a Monday, which means it's 80-cent wing nights every Monday through Thursday at Arches, plus sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas, too. The menu's delicious. Ice-cold drinks, including maybe an iron or two, every single night at Archie's, including tonight on a Monday night. Like when I said, you got a Monday night doubleheader, including one of those Cabali and Mac darling teams in the Tampa Bay Bucs. Yeah,
if you're not
Monday night football.
If you're not at Arches tonight eating some wings, drinking some iron and watching some football, you might as well just move to like Los Angeles or something.
Yeah, you don't really love football if you're not watching it at Archie's.
Wings, beer, iron, Arch. Sit there and talk to the Godfather himself.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
You know his name's not Archie, but they call him Archie because of the Manning.
Yes, because his last name's Manning. Yes.
Okay. I'm just making a note to the public out there.
Just letting everybody else know. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Archie's Wings, baby. You know what? I can go for some. I got a kid down there.
Well, get on down there then. We appreciate Arch supporting the show, though, here on Cabali and Mac. I need to mention other AFC North news. Bengals and Ravens both won yesterday. Ravens beat up the Browns, which we suspected would happen. But the bigger news, Joe Burrow could be out a while. Kaboom. This could be bad.
That's season.
You think it's season? He could be back mid to late December. Going to need toe surgery. Apparently some torn ligaments on the bottom of the foot, as Adam Schefter was describing it on television this morning. But Joe Burrow now has suffered a major, if not season-ending injury in 3 of his 6 NFL seasons. Perhaps you may want to go get yourselves some offensive linemen in Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, but, you know, the interesting part of that is it wasn't a big hit that he got injured on.
I mean, there were 3 guys.
Caught up in the muck.
Yeah. I mean.
And did you know Jack Lambert's career ended with a toe injury?
Yeah, I've heard that somewhere before. So the Bengals are in trouble. Although Jake Browning has a winning record.
Just stop.
I mean, he went 4-3.
Did you just say Joe Burrow? Then you said, however, Jake Browning. I'm done. I cut it off there.
Well, I'm not comparing Burrow to Browning. He's the backup for a reason.
When
he was a backup a couple years ago, they won 4 out of 7 games.
We just lost 500 viewers because you said, "Whoa, Jake Browning."
They could have worse backups, is my point.
What about Skylar Thompson? Trade him over there.
Steelers don't even have a third quarterback right now.
You know what I found interesting yesterday is Aaron did sit out the last drive. There ain't no way in hell Roethlisberger would ever do that.
No. If there were going to be any last-minute meaningless heroics to take place, Ben was going to be out there for him.
Yeah, he always played it like, wow, I started, I'm going to finish it. But I'm like, oh, Mason's in here. That's something I've never really seen before where the starting quarterback said, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of obvious at that point that they were done. But yeah, 2 of 2 for 12 yards for Mason.
Thankfully. So the Bengals are done. The Browns stink.
Yep.
We always knew the Ravens were going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, what about Justin Fields all of a sudden turned into Justin Fields?
What about the rest? Yeah, Fields could be out too. Concussion protocol for him, it sounds like. So it could be a week of Tyrod
Patriots
Taylor.
Stink. Dolphins going to fire their coach.
For what it's worth.
The Colts. Woo! Yeah, I told you, brother.
I was going to go through the picks in a second here. For what it's worth, Russ had a big day yesterday, even
only
in a
lot. 460. Does that mean he's going to get – I don't know who the offensive coordinator of the Giants are. They're going to get in a fight now?
Maybe. Yeah, is the offensive coordinator going to have to tell him to throw the ball less, you think?
Yeah. You get that one?
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Chiefs suck. You're right, Coley. Chiefs stink. Raiders stink.
So I want to talk about this, but first, let's recap the picks, okay?
Steelers stink.
Let's recap the picks because...
We might not be above 500.
We are. We're tied. I went 10-3 yesterday. You went 8-5.
I'm 2 games ahead.
No, you're not. We're tied. 19
How are we tied?
Because you went 8-5 and I went 10-3.
Oh, you're cheating now.
I wrote them down right here.
There's no way you went 10-3.
I did too. You complained that I picked all favorites. The only games I got wrong were Denver, Indy, Minnesota, Atlanta, and the Steelers game. You got the Steelers game wrong. You got Denver, Indy wrong. You got the Chiefs, Eagles wrong. You got the Saints, Niners wrong. And you took the Dolphins to beat the Patriots.
Did I pick the Saints?
Yeah.
I think you just misheard me there.
Go back and check the tape, my friend. It's all on you.
It's not over yet, brother. It's 2 tonight.
There are 2 tonight, but we both took the same team.
Yeah, you got cheating again.
We both took the Bucs and the Chargers. I'm not cheating. We're tied. So there you go. Do better. Thanks to Impact HVAC, by the way, for taking care of us and taking care of you as well. If you need it, it's going to be relatively hot this week, right? Temps up in the mid-80s again. Maybe the AC has kicked it or it's not just doing what you want it to do. Get a hold of them on Facebook. You can message them at Impact HVAC PGH or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. Get that furnace inspection scheduled too for later in the fall when it starts to get chilly out. They'll come on over and check it out. They replaced our furnace here, literally like 4 feet in that direction behind that door. Just a few months ago in the late winter, early spring. So maintenance, repair, replacement, they do it all. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or 412-297-1852. Let's talk about it since you just started rattling off a whole bunch of teams. I love these numbers, and you're going to say they don't mean anything, but this is going back 55 years now. In the super post-merger, I guess, 64% of teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs. Last year, 7 of 8 teams that started 2-0 made the playoffs. So here are your 2-0 teams right now, kaboom. Buffalo, Cincy, who we already talked about, maybe screwed, and Indianapolis in the AFC. In the NFC, you got Philly, you got Green Bay, you got San Francisco, you got the Rams, and the Cardinals, who... I mean, they played the Saints and the Panthers to open up. So which of those teams does not make the playoffs? I think it's a pretty easy pick. Arizona probably, right?
Arizona doesn't look bad. I probably might say 49ers just because Purdy's out for another, month?
Okay, that's a good call. But you really believe in these Indianapolis Colts, don't you?
Well, yeah, because I don't think the
– spent a lot of time with McAfee and the
boys. I just don't think the AFC South is any good. I mean, we saw what happened again in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I mean, that honeymoon's over, right? Duval. When Trevor Lawrence is like,
get the hell out of here. Stop yelling at me.
I mean, Houston's just flawed. Who else is in that division? Yeah.
Tennessee, 0-2.
So exactly. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're, it's a team that's going to go far in the playoffs, but I think they're going to win the division still. Yeah, I mean, they got a good running back. They got, it turns out to be a pretty decent quarterback so far.
So far.
They got a good running back.
Pump the brake.
Good wide receiver. Pittman's pretty good. Even Alec Pierce is pretty decent. tight end. You should know all about him.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. I just like their talent right now. I was always questionable about their coaching, but
they got away with one yesterday. I mean, getting
everybody's favorite team, right? The Bronx, and everybody picking them to win it all this year. Or the surprise of these.
I was up and down on that during the off.
This defense was so good, and this defensive line so good, and the secondary so good, you don't give up 30 points to the Colts.
Sorry. You just told me how great the Colts offense was.
Not if you're a Super Bowl contender like the Broncos.
Thanks to the guys at the Third Do First In podcast as well for supporting us, so we support them in return. Firefighter, first responder podcast, all kinds of crazy stories, insight from that life, whether you yourself are in it or you just want to hear more about it. Keith and Gino and all of their guests tell you all you need to know about that lifestyle. Firefighters, first responders, and everything in that realm. Third Do First In. We appreciate their support of Cabali and Mac. What about the 0-2 teams? Because 10% of 0-2 teams, kaboom, since 1970. Have made the playoffs. I think there were a couple last year.
Isn't that changed since they've added seven teams?
Well, I want to say there were three, I think, that made the playoffs last year from 0-2. Baltimore was 0-2, I want to say. I think Denver was 0-2, and there was somebody else. Now, Jets, Dolphins, Browns, Titans, none of them are making it. Giants, Bears, Saints, Panthers. Ooh.
Bears are terrible.
Bears are awful. None of them are making it. But the Chiefs, the Chefs, are 0-2. Kaboom. Do they still make the playoffs?
Dude, they're flawed. I mean, not flawed. They just don't have any more weapons.
Kelsey or bust.
Not only they don't have any weapons, they don't have an offensive line. Wow. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical. I mean, Mahomes can only do so much. And, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical right now. The only way they wouldn't make it if they would – right now I look at it, they're back into that seventh spot, which is always possible. So I'm not quite writing them off. I'm not making the playoffs, but that division is going to be hard to win, I think, now.
Well, really they're going to get a win this weekend because they play the Giants. But then they get the Ravens at home. And a couple weeks after that, they got Detroit too. They got Washington a couple weeks after that, although the Commanders might be flawed. They got a trip to Buffalo. I mean, they could have four losses by the time they get to their bye in week 10, and the Chargers could just be rolling it up in that division because they've got the Giants, the Dolphins. After they play Vegas tonight, they get Denver. But I mean,
you are the one that calls them Vegas, don't you?
It's just easier than saying Las Vegas.
Well,
where's that name come from anyway? Las Vegas. What's that mean? Vegas?
Is that Mexican? Spanish? Whatever?
Ain't it Mexican?
Los Angeles.
It's even in the Wikipedia page. Las Vegas, colloquially referred to as Vegas.
I don't call it Vegas. Just like I don't call it the Berg.
The Berg.
We'll go down to the Berg. You know, like just like Jerry Berthier. Jerry Berthier. What's that from? What movie was that again?
Remember the Titans.
Yeah. I'm going to head down the Berg with Julius.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden he gets T-boned at an intersection. And
Mama Jerry didn't want him to go down to the Berg.
Yeah. And then
it turned out to be
crazy drunk driver running a red light or something. You know?
That's what happens when you're. You know, just driving down the middle of the road, like waving to people.
Left side. Strong side.
That never really happened, by the way.
Well, no, something did happen to the real.
It was
Jerry
like 10 years later or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It wasn't that night after they were celebrating a big win. I think I read about that once because I watched Remember the Titans 165 times. Las Vegas means the meadows, or more precisely, lower land near a river. There you go.
Is there a river in Vegas?
No, I don't think so.
I thought it was the desert.
It is desert. I mean, there's a river outside of Vegas, I think. But
where's the old Hoover Dam at?
It's near there. I don't know. It's around there. somewhere out
provide
there.
All, it does provide all the water to Los Angeles. And
so we've heard. Area. Yeah. Right. Good job. Look at you.
I know. Come my
geography.
Like I said, if you never need the kid to go over some geography.
Oh, we're learning latitude and longitude these days in geography.
Yeah, that's you don't need that. That's called an iPhone now.
You still need to know latitude and longitude.
Not really.
Which ones are latitude? The ones that go up and down or the ones that go side to side?
Which one? Latitude.
Latitude.
That way.
No, it goes up and down.
What? Longitude. No,
you're right. You're right.
I know I'm right. I just wanted to see
if I could get you. All right. So you think the Chiefs could really miss the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they're not going to win the division. I think they could sneak into the seven. I mean, who are they getting back? Xavier or whatever.
Xavier Worthy. Worthy, yeah.
Unless he makes a huge difference. Isn't Hollywood Brown on that team too?
Yep, hadn't done much.
They don't have zero run game. I think Pat Mahomes is the league rusher the last 2 weeks, right?
Off probably.
For them. I mean, you just can't win. Like you talk about, can't win. Whew. And all of a sudden, Steve Spagnuolo doesn't know how to coach defense anymore.
Well, I mean, you faced two really good offenses the first 2 weeks.
Well, you ain't giving the Steelers the benefit of the doubt of facing two very good defensive lines.
Well, you're not giving the Chiefs the benefit of the doubt. So there. Benefit of the doubt on both sides.
You know what the benefit of this doubt is, baby?
What?
John Cena tonight, baby. Showing up.
What do you think about this WrestleMania and Saudi thing?
I'm going to sound like...
Are you going to recuse yourself from the question,
Senator? I'm going to sound like Patrick Queen yesterday. I can't answer that question.
I'll say I'm not a fan of it. WrestleMania should be... This is like taking the Super Bowl to England. Like, wait, what?
Well, which is eventually going to happen, so...
Man, WrestleMania.
It's like taking a game from Heinz Field and putting it in Ireland?
No. No, it's not the same as that.
But next year, they're playing a couple games in Australia?
Yeah, I think the Rams kick it off next year in Australia.
Nothing like a 17-hour flight.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be nice and fresh for that one.
It's tough. I mean, the way I look at it is if you're going overseas, you would have thought they would have went somewhere like UK, somewhere in that area.
Nope. Saudi. Lots of cash.
Hey, you got to get what you got to get. If it's honestly, is there anybody out there who don't want the cash?
No, everybody's chasing the paper.
So
cash rules everything around Kaboom. Cream, get the money.
Cream, get the money?
Wu-Tang, come on. You grew up in the 90s. You don't know Wu-Tang? Seriously?
I know Wu-Tang. I don't know any of their songs.
Cream, cash rules everything around.
All I know is, what is it, the quarter? Cream,
get the money.
Dollar, I just know, like, the quarter holds up a dollar. Right?
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up for today on that note. Do you want to get together again tomorrow morning and bitch some more before Tomlin talks?
Here we go. Yeah, like I always say this. That's a very strong word of want, especially when it comes to you.
I know.
Maybe I have to go invite people to my house. Invite people. Maybe. Hey, thanks for the gyros, by the way.
There's leftovers if you want me to drop some off.
Yeah, I'm like your gyros. I don't know how you cook.
It's not hard.
You
put it on a machine, it spins around, you shave the lamb off once it's cooked.
Where'd you get the meat at?
I don't know. Santoro bought it for us.
Yeah,
He buys good stuff. He works for a food company.
That's what I'm saying. If it was Santoro, if Santoro was making it, I would probably say yes, I'd take some, but you...
Well, then, I see how it is. We'll do it again tomorrow morning if Kaboom can make the time, and we'll bitch about some things a little bit more before Mike Tomlin's press conference, and we'll continue to roll throughout the week.
Head up to Bed Bath & Beyond.
I don't know. Yes. I don't know if we'll have enough time. Nice little Saturday. All right. Old school reference for the kids out there. We'll talk to Ian's again soon. Thanks for supporting us. Don't forget to follow on all the social media. And of course, subscribe on YouTube for your chance to win either the autographed Will Howard helmet or the Stone Cold autographed vest. We'll do it again soon right here. Kabali and Mac. Bye.